mind and well with my soul. We do what God desires. We can truly, truly lift our voices unto Him and say, it is well with my soul. On this morning, I would like for you, I know that many of you have never been to the country before, a lot of city slickers. Some of you are country, your country, but you live in the city. I want you to think about a ditch. And I know many of you have heard about a ditch if you've never seen a ditch. Think about the different sizes of the ditches. As we think about this scripture, I gave Brother Brian 8 through 13, but verse 14 is going to be included in that reading. As we think about some versions, use the word pit. We have some fire pits that are shallow. We have some other pits that are pretty deep. Ditches are the same. Some are shallow, some are deep. You can drive through some and you can get stuck in others. You can lie in a ditch, they tell you, when a tornado is coming through, and you will be protected because it generally goes over you. It's not me. Brother Glenn, can you give us a little volume, please? We're working on that, Brother Brian. We're working on it. As we think about the things that we do in this life, the tornado coming through, and you lying in that ditch, and it goes over you. But there are some ditches that you do not want to lie in. My first automobile that my dad let me drive to school was an electric 225, a deuce and a quarter. And the transmission was messing up. I don't know why. I don't believe it was because of anything I wasn't doing or anything I was doing. But it would not go in reverse, and I would have to go out through the ditch. The ditch was shallow. The city come by, and they would clean out the ditches from time to time. And we would always try to get them to bypass our house because we used that ditch to get out the drive. But they would dig it out, and I would have to wait until it rains again and it washes water, washes dirt from somewhere else, and that ditch fills back up. And I was thankful for that. So thank God for the rain. But when we look at a passage such as Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, and we think about verse 14 again, verse 14. The first two verses, 8 and 9, this people, actually he called them hypocrites in 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men. Drop down to verse 14. He says, let them alone. They're all blind gods. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit or the ditch. So if both of them fall in, it has to be deep. For two people to fall into a ditch, it has to be deep. Well, I want you to understand that you do not have to fall into a ditch. Someone is walking and they stumble and they fall down, and you may be holding their hand, and they try to pull you down with them. If you're not alert, you will go down. But if you're alert, you're going to continue to hold them by the hand, but you're going to pull them back out. You're not going to allow them to pull you back in. So as we look at the word this morning, I want us to understand that there are some people that are trying to pull us down into a ditch, trying to pull us into the pit, trying to get us to look away from God, trying to get us to honor Him with our lips and allow our hearts to be far from Him. Now we have some say-so in this issue. In this manner, in this situation, we have some say-so. And what do we want to say? We want to say what God has said. We want to do what God has commanded us to do. We want to stand strong. We want to contend earnestly for the faith. We don't want to waver. We don't want to go to the left. We don't want to go to the right. But we want to go straight ahead. We want to continue to stand upon the promises of God. You want to be in the ditch, so be it. You want to be blind, be blind. But know this, that's not how God wants you to be. We go back to verse 10 and he says, "And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand." Don't want you to just hear. But I want you to understand as well. Pay attention to what is being said. Is it not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person? Eat what you may, do what you may, but understand that the heart, the mind that we have, where we have all these things in reserve and we're getting ready to say them just at the right moment. God said, that's what defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Now I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and think. Who are they talking to? His disciples are talking to the Lord, Jesus. They're talking to him. Do you not know that the Pharisees were offended at this saying? Jesus, I really don't care. Basically, think about it. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, don't matter if you're offended or not. See, when a person is offended by the word, that person is doing something wrong. That's what it all boils down to. He answered and said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them be offended. They're going to get what they deserve. Every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be rooted up. Have you been offended by the word of God and by the words that you were offended by? Did you do or have you done anything to change that? Or are you still walking around offended with a chip on your shoulder, with an attitude, an ugly look on your face? Now, you may be the prettiest thing in here, but you have an ugly look on your face because you've been offended by the word of God. Who cares? God doesn't care. What he cares about is your soul. That's why he sent his son to die upon the cruel cross of Calvary in order for you and I to be saved. That we may know the truth, hear and understand. Know that there is but one God. Know that he is going to judge all according to his word. So when a person is offended by the word of God, he says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. He said, let them alone. You know, I believe some, when I mentioned who cares, some were like, well, God cares. God said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. They're going to be rooted up.
He says, let them alone. They're all blind gods. Now where did this come from? It came from the book of Isaiah. His own people were blind gods. The leaders leading people to destruction, leading them in the wrong way. And he says that if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. Now we ask ourselves from time to time, and we get this question from time to time, that if a person is being deceived, is that person still going to be held accountable? Well, if the blind lead the blind, who's going to fall in the ditch? Both of them. My grandmother lost her sight late in life. She could still cook. There were things, now her husband, mind you, he got the grease hot, but she could still cook. But there were places where she needed to go that she did not know the direction. She would catch someone, and you have seen this and with other blind people, she would catch someone by their elbow, by their forearm, and she would allow them to guide her. And mind you this, there are a select few people that a blind person will allow to guide them. Why? Because some people don't care where they lead you. The blind does not know the direction in which they need to go. And if you're following a blind person, you will go in the wrong direction. Now, Jesus is not talking about the world right here. Jesus is talking about his people. The people that he came to save. What did he come for? To seek and to save that which was lost. His people. The children of Israel. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. The angel even told Mary, you shall give birth to a son and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. But as long as they want to be blind, they're going to be blind. He's not going to make them see. Make them understand. But he says, hear and understand. Hear and understand. Now I believe that when we hear Jesus talking the way he's talking right here, that again, there is somebody that's confused. But he continues and it says, but Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. Explain it to us. We hear what you're saying, but explain it to us so that we may understand. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Can you imagine? Walking with the great master, and he's trying to explain some things about some people and to some people that are running around lost, but you are sitting at his feet, and do you still not understand? You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the book of Hebrews, where he said, by now you ought to be teachers, but yet you need someone to teach you the first principles. You need milk instead of meat. I believe we need to understand. We need to do better than we've been doing. And we need to be in the Word of God. And we need to study the Word of God. And we need to apply the Word of God. And that means that we live the Word of God. Not just with your lips, but with your heart. He says in verse 17, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. This is what defiles a person. Not what goes into the mouth. And we put plenty of things into our mouth that we expel. We get rid of waste. No good. But there are some things that's in our heart, in our minds, that need to remain there. Let me see, can I recall when you offended me the last time? And let me see what I can do to you. Leave it there. Don't bring it back up. The corrupt communication in which we participate in, it's in your mind. It's going to always be there because that's something that you were taught.
You learn those things, but leave them there. It's just like riding a bicycle. Once you learn, you never forget. But some of us don't need to get back on one. I know what I'm doing. Yes, you know what you're doing, but not on my bike, you don't. Think about it. Young man let me ride his motorcycle. I was in high school, and I got on that motorcycle. He said, you know what you're doing? I said, yes, I know what I'm doing. I got on that motorcycle, and I began to ride it around the parking lot. It was a big parking lot. It was around the mall, and I got to a certain point, and I forgot what gear I was in. Went around that corner, and that thing slid out from under me. I still got a mark right here that would always remind me that just because you say you know how to do something doesn't mean that you really know how to do it. Trying to burn the clutch up in another man's bike. Riding around this big block again. He came back. He said, Junior, did you change gears? I said, what's a gear? Did not know. Did not know. So sometimes we have to inquire. We have to listen. We have to learn. We have to understand what we're doing. Yes, if you have a motorcycle, I can ride now. Don't let me on your bike. Let's look at it. And let's understand the things that's in our mind need to stay there if they're not going to bring glory to the church. He continues and he says in verse 19, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Evil thoughts now. Murders, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are the things that's in our mind. And when they come to the forefront and we say, I'm going to do that thing. And you do it, you are not doing what God wants you to do. He said, these are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person. Anyone. No one. But I suggest that, you know, all the things that's going on today, wash your hands. Wash your hands. Yes, you. Wash your hands. But I look at it, and I want us to understand once again that when we look at the ditch is deep, we have to look at the person next to us. And we have to look at the person behind us and the person that's in front of us. And we have to look at the person that we're walking down the street with. We have to look at the person that we're sitting in the stands with. We have to look at the person that we're spending all our time with. Is that person leading you in the wrong direction? Is that person leading you in the wrong direction? Your brother, your sister, the one that you look up to, is that person leading you in the wrong direction? Being deceived leads us against God. You believe that? Again, is it the one that's deceiving, the false teacher? Is he or she the only one that's going to be held accountable? No, each one of us is going to be held accountable. We need to pick up the word. We need to study the word. We need to apply the word. And again, we need to live the word. We need to live the word. Being deceived leads us against God. Do you want to be against God? Do you want God as your enemy? Jesus teaches that we should love our enemies, right? But do we want God as our enemy? You want to be on his side. Let me just say that. Why? Because he's all powerful. There's nothing that can stand against him. He makes fun of you when you serve a false God. Don't cry to me. Cry to that God that you've been serving. See what he can do for you. You've been deceived, so therefore, you're not my friend. You're not one of my children. You're of your father, the devil. No, I'm a child of God. Not if you're being deceived, you're not. See, when a person is deceived, it's just not that they're listening to what is being said, but they're believing it. They're understanding that as being truth instead of God's word as being truth. They understand, I can say what I want to say and do what I want to do, and God is going to be all right. No. No. He is not going to be all right. Well, yes, again, God is going to be all right because he's God. But he's displeased with that. That's what I mean when I say, God, he's not going to be all right with it.
He does not want us to be separated away from Him. He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to abide in His Word. He wants us to live according to His promises because He's ready to fulfill them. You invite someone over to your house, you cook this big meal, you're expecting them to come and they don't come. What do you do with the food? You eat it. But you're let down. And you say, it's going to be a long time before you get another invite to my house to eat any of my food. See, it's like that with God. When you're separated away from Him, He still wants you to come back. But He's not going to do anything special for you. You're going to have to do what's right. You're going to have to make up what you have lost out on. You're going to have to do that. Being deceived leaves us against God. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4, and the verses 14 and 15. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. But this is a well-known road. This is the path that leads to grandma's house. You know, just because it's well-known, just because it's well-used, doesn't mean that it's the right road. Just because this is the way you go to grandma's house doesn't mean that's the only way to get to grandma's house. See, we have to know that the way of the wicked, there are many people that are going to go down that path. There are many people not only going down that path, but there are some that are waiting on you to come down that path. We were walking yesterday at a convenience store. And as we was walking by, these little teenagers were standing there. And they were looking a couple of people up and down, looking at them with an attitude. And one of the persons that was with us, and they looked back at them, and they finally made eye contact, and they said, "Hello, how you doing?" And the person act like first, they didn't want to speak. They finally spoke. See, it's like that. If we were here on this path, and you were by yourself, and I looked at you up and down like that, and you spoke to me, I jumped on you. That's basically what it was like yesterday. But I want us to understand sometime that there are some paths, there are some streets, there are some areas that, yeah, we need to avoid them. We need to avoid them. But on the opposite hand, on the other hand, some of those areas need us to enter in, not to do the things that they're doing, but to tell them that the things that they're doing are wrong. Let's keep that in mind as we think about being deceived leaves us against God. The people that are deceiving us, those evil people out there that are trying to hurt us, trying to harm us, trying to pull us in the wrong direction, we need to be trying to help them and pull them in the right direction. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. But right now, we're just looking at being deceived. Being deceived, because many times we're on that path and we think that is the right way. Many times it's the wrong way. And we need to get off that path. He says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good." But you know what? Sometimes we listen to that fool. You say there's no God? I believe that. Look what is happening in my family. Look what's happening in my family right now. I believe that there's no God. How can there be? How can there not be? That's what we should ask them. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. See, the listening to a foolish person and doing what they're telling us to do, what they're suggesting, makes us just as foolish as them. Amen. So we have to be on guard. We have to be alert. We have to understand what God wants us to do, and we have to do those things. He says again there in verse 4, have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. They're eating up my people. They're destroying my people. They're carrying my people away. And the reason that we get carried away, that his people got carried away, is because they failed to look at him as God. They failed to continue to do the things in which they were supposed to do, to be the example to those that were trying to lead them away, those that were saying foolish things, those that were saying that there is no God. There is a God. There has always been a God, and there will always be God. Always. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as his word. Why is it just as his word? Because that's what it says, talking about his word. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because his word was in the beginning. His word would never pass away. It will always be the same. It's never going to change for anybody. He is never going to change for anybody. Being deceived leads us against God. In the book of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. Are you a guide to your neighbor? Do your neighbor know the way to the truth? Do your neighbor know who you are? Do your neighbor know that you worship the one God? Does your neighbor know that you worship according to the pattern that you find in Scripture? Does your neighbor really know who you are by the things in which you do? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Is your neighbor seeing Christ in you? Is your neighbor looking to be able to glorify God and say, I want to do what you're doing. I want to be like you. Because I know that you are doing what God wants you to do and that you are like Christ. Is your neighbor saying that? But you know, as we look at it and think about it, he says, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Ringing your neighbor's doorbell, knocking on your neighbor's door. Hey, I know that the weekend is here. I know you worked hard. How about let's going out and having a couple of drinks together? How about let's go into the club tonight? See, that's what some of us, and I say us, I'm not talking about me. That's what some of us is doing. We're leading our neighbors astray. We're leading them in the wrong direction. We're saying, yeah, I'm a child of God, but I can do what I want to do, and God is not going to do anything about it. Yes. Keep thinking like that. You're going to get yours sooner or later. Sooner or later. And what's happening is when we lead our neighbors astray, we're turning them against God. They're saying, well, you're a Christian and you're doing these things. Why should I become one? You haven't changed your life. See, the gospel changes us. But being deceived leaves us against God. Well, when we think that we don't have to change. The Bible says that don't be drunken with wine. It didn't say I couldn't drink wine. How many of you, don't answer, please don't answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many of you say you drink wine just because you like the taste of it? I'm just looking around. I know some of y'all may raise your hand. I want to see who you are. Because those same people, when they came out with near beer, they said, I like the taste, so therefore I'm going to go and buy me a case of Sharps near beer. Near beer. How do I know?
because I knew some people like that. I didn't drink near beer. But then they quit drinking near beer. Why? Because it wasn't the taste that they were looking for. They were looking for that effect. They wanted that good feeling. They wanted that drunken state. That's the same thing with drinking that wine. You're not drinking it for taste. You're telling your friends, I'm going home. I'm going to have a little wine to soothe me, to relax me. You're drunk. You're drunk. Your senses have been altered. So let's be careful with what we say that we can do and that we can't do. Don't be deceived. Because if you're deceived, you will still be held accountable. So sometimes we lead our neighbors astray. We lead our neighbors astray. But let's lead them into the right way. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13 and the verses 20. And that's a whole nother lesson in itself with that drinking, okay? We'll come back to it at a later date. He says in Proverbs 13 verse 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Man, I've been a fool for a long time, but not a fool anymore. I'm hanging out with some good people, some wise people, some people that understand what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. I've changed my friends. I've changed the way I talk. I've changed the way I walk. I've changed the way I dress. Why? Because I'm hanging out with some wise people now. Yeah, that's a great feeling, isn't it? Brother Simmons said he woke up giddy this morning. Brother, that's a good feeling to have. A giddy has always been better than tipsy. Just want you to know that. But there are some giddy people that are tipsy sometimes. But doing what God wants us to do, being excited about coming into the house of the Lord or coming together with the saints to worship Him in spirit and truth is a good thing. That we should be able to give God all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Again, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. There's a man that loved his drink. He said he woke up one morning. He woke up one morning now. He stayed out all night, but he woke up one morning in the ditch. Wondering, how did he get those bruises on himself? And we got scripture for it. And we can, again, that we'll talk about that in that lesson. But I just want to point out to you, sometimes we have some scrapes on us. We have some bruises on us. And we wonder, how did I get these bruises? Because you've been hanging out with the companion of fools. You've been thinking that what you're doing is all right. But yet, you have found that it has brought harm to you. You've found that it has left you crippled. It has left you wounded. We need to know that being deceived, it puts us, it leaves us against God. Amen. He does not want us to be foolish. He wants us to be wise. So again, we look at it and we think about it. He says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. You hang out with dogs, you're nothing but a dog. Now, yes, Jesus ate with sinners, but he ate with them in order to teach them. Ate with them to teach them. He just didn't hang out with them. He was there for a reason, for a purpose, to fulfill what the Father wanted him to do. I come to do the Father's will. Well, whatever he says, that's what I'm saying. Whatever he wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. But some of us, we find that we have harm done to us because we're hanging out with the wrong crowd. We're hanging out with those foolish people. We need to find somebody wise to hang out with. Well, who's wise? The one who wins souls. The ones that's being the example that they're supposed to be. The one that's letting their light so shine before men that they may see their good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's the wise man. The wise man is the one that built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. See, we can go on and on and talk about who's wise and who's foolish. But my question to us this morning, to you this morning, are you wise or are you foolish? Now, if you can answer that question,
You're somewhat wise if you're a foolish person, but if you can answer that person and you're a wise person, remain wise. Continue to know what God wants you to do and do those things. That foolish person that say, yeah, I know that I'm a fool. Why not change? Why not become a child of God? Why not confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Why not put him on through the watery grave of baptism? Why not become righteous and lead your neighbor into the right way, in the right direction? That ditch is not full yet. But let that ditch not become full by what you need to be doing. Remain faithful unto God. He says in Proverbs 14 and the verses 6, he says, a scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding. Solomon, in all you're getting, you want wisdom, and all you're getting, get an understanding. Get an understanding. See, we have some street smart people out there. Got street smarts. You know everything about the streets, but you know nothing about God. Well, you know, we got those jailhouse lawyers, they call them. We got people that know a little bit about the Word of God, just a little bit. Know enough to be dangerous. See, we need to know that God's Word is not to be played with. We need to study it, and we need to apply it. We need to continue to teach it. We need to continue to live it. We need to do the things that God wants us to do. We do not need to be found in a ditch. And when you are found out there, when you are sought out by someone that is spiritual, please, please, please follow them. Galatians chapter 6 in the verse is 1. If your brother is caught up in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. But consider yourself, lest ye also be tempted. See, let's not be deceived. Let's not think that we're better than anybody else. Let's not think that we cannot fall, because we can and we will. And when we do, there we are in that ditch, being destroyed. But let's help one another out. Let's strengthen one another. And let's draw our strength from God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That is not a myth. That's a fact. If we have Christ, we can do all things. We can overcome whatever comes our way. And if he does not want us to overcome it, we can learn to live with it. Are you willing this morning to become a child of God if you're not? But if you're strayed away from God, you're a child of God and you've been deceived and you're strayed away from him. You've begun to do things that were in the heart that you should not be doing. We're asking you to confess this morning. We're asking you to repent this morning. We're asking you to ask for the prayers of the congregation that you may be strengthened this morning. Don't leave here wondering, if I die, or when I die, am I going to heaven? Don't leave here wondering. No, where you're going to spend your eternity. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.